Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
All right.
What's the big brouhaha? You want answers? What's the big brouhaha?
You can't handle the truth.
Welcome to the beautiful campus of LCMSU, everyone.
Who are you?
I am
the Chancellor.
Yeah, baby.
Pastor Marcus Zill.
Oh, no. I'm gonna jack up on my stoop.
Hi. We are here today in the Student Union from St. Charles, Missouri, the site of Lindenwood University, with two students to talk to us about tips for student recruitment on campus, something that's on everybody's minds this time of year. We have Matthew Kelp and Rachel Helwig. How are you doing, guys?
Doing pretty good.
All right. Thank you for having us on.
You are the first duo I have yet to have two students on before, two of anybody on before. This is like new. This is breaking frontier, new ground. Matthew, you have been on with us before. Rachel is a first-timer. It is great to have you with us here in the Student Union. Rachel, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Lutheran Student Union, which is the name, ironically, which is also sort of the name of this program. The Lutheran Student Union is the name of your student group there at Lindenwood University. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, we've had a little issues with recruiting new students. We've run into issues with fraternities and sororities getting to the students first. But this year we've hit the ground running, and we have a long list of potential students, and most of whom are freshmen, and we have a couple that are not freshmen. So we're excited to see where that goes this year.
But you guys, I mean, this going back, Matthew, what's the history here? 4 or 5 years since, or 3 or 4 years since you started this group?
Yeah, this is its fourth year, I suppose. We started it halfway through my freshman year, and I graduated from Lindenwood in May with a business degree. And so I was the president for 3.5 years, and now Rachel's the president, carrying it on into its fourth year here.
But you're still involved because you're doing something that I understand it's rather unusual for college students. You graduated with a degree, with a bachelor's degree, and now you're going to community college, I understand.
Right. Well, I'm going to the community college to get prerequisites for a master's program I want to enter into in construction engineering. So it's not so totally unusual for students who are going into a little bit unrelated program, maybe something like nursing, to have to take a few classes.
Well, sure.
At the community.
So your background is business and engineering. And
yes.
Rachel, what are you studying, Rachel?
I'm studying exercise science with a focus on strength and conditioning.
Excellent. So you're kind of a workout geek. Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Okay. And what are you into?
I really like squats and deadlifts.
Wow. Holy buckets. That is awesome. And have you gotten Matthew to do some of those too? He's a little skinny. He could maybe do a little bit of that, right, Matthew?
Yeah, probably so. I probably need to build some upper body strength.
Well, it just kind of goes to show you the variety of people we have at a college campus. And anyway, so it's great to have you guys here. I've had the pleasure of being with your group a time or two out at the Lutheran Student Union. And you guys normally have you've had the last couple of years, you've had vicars through, is it Emmanuel in St. Charles?
Yeah.
And so you've.
And so we are moved on to our new vicar, Alex Schrader.
Okay, so a shout out to Vicar Alex. Maybe he can get on the program down the line too. Anyways, so let's talk about this. It's always a thing at the beginning of the school year. Everybody's trying to find students. How big is Lindenwood? Just for not everybody that's listening around the country probably is aware. How big of a school, Matthew, is Lindenwood University?
Lindenwood has, I think, around 5,000 to 6,000 undergraduate students at the St. Charles campus now. About 3,000, maybe 3,500 of those are residential. The rest are commuters.
Okay. And it's a private school, if I recall right.
It is a private school, historically Presbyterian, unaffiliated since the 1960s, I think.
Right. No, a lot of private schools have done that these days. It seems to be a reoccurring theme over the last 30 or 40 years. But it's a fantastic campus, and kudos to everybody at Emmanuel St. Charles for getting Vickers, the Vickers helping with you guys. And in the last couple of years, you've had a chance to even get your own space off campus. Tell me about that, Rachel. What kind of a space do you guys have?
We have an office space that is actually right across the street from campus housing, and it has one large room and then two small offices in there.
And you guys utilize this quite a bit for your studies and things?
We haven't in the past, but this year we're hoping to increase that. We're hoping to have an outside person, as a non-student, in the upper room quite often, so that way freshmen can get into the building because we normally have it locked.
And it's called the upper room. And so, you know, it's funny, when my father was, I was a little kid, we were living in Seward, Nebraska, and there was really no chaplaincy and all this kind of stuff. My dad was the pastor at St. John's in Seward, and we're looking for a way to reach out to the Concordia students. And we turned our basement at the parsonage into a hangout for college students. This is when I was a little kid. And we called it the upper room, which was really interesting because it was in our basement. So it was really the lower room. But anyways, all I know is I was really ticked off because I didn't have a place to have my ping pong table and train set up when I was a little kid. But anyways, enough banter. Let's talk about some tips for recruiting students on campus. And I'm sure this is in no ways exhaustive, but you guys have a lot of good ideas. Matthew, why don't you start us off here? Take us through the first one.
All right. The first one that I thought of was pray that God will guide your efforts to reach new students always. It's always a good idea to pray, of course, about what you're doing, talk to God, and ask him to guide you when you're considering different methods of reaching them.
Now, prayer is, it's always good to prayerfully consider things. I mean, these things, it's really easy. Some of this stuff that we'll kind of walk through is a little bit kind of common sense, pragmatic, practical kind of things. But God is still in charge of this, and he is the Lord of the church. And we need to always continually pray that he will bring together not only those, I'm sure obviously you want to reach out to our LCMS students, but there's plenty of others on campus that might be of interest as well. How about, is there a place, Rachel, why don't you offer up one?
The first thing you should really do is talk to the student life office after you've prayed to find out what recruitment opportunities there are, as well as resources available on campus. So things like organization fairs.
And lots of, the student life offices on campus, that's usually kind of, if you ever go to, those of you listening out there, if you ever go to like a website for any university, usually student life is kind of the overall encompassing umbrella for everything that's related to stuff that happens on campus. But that is always kind of the place for student organization status. Now, I know every campus has got different parameters for becoming a student organization. What is it like at, what kind of things are accessible to you? Well, first of all, at Lindenwood, what does it take to become a student organization? And then maybe tell us a little bit about what kind of things you've been able to utilize on campus as a result.
Oh, okay. So at Lindenwood, we had to have a minimum of 8 students. We have to have a minimum of 8 students every year when we re-register. And that allows us access to funding to get promotional items like T-shirts, to get food for on-campus events. We can reserve rooms on campus for free. We have to have an advisor. Also, actually, we just got a new advisor. So that's basically a professor or staff person who will agree to sponsor us. It's not a big commitment for them, though. Those are the main requirements. We also, perhaps unusually, have to send one representative to a government meeting every Wednesday during the entire school year, so about 32 times every year, which is a large commitment.
Okay, yeah, that's not the norm, but I suppose that keeps you up to date about what's going on, though.
It does. It's a place to share information about upcoming events and vote on distributing funding.
Do they put any restrictions? You say you get funding. How much funding are you able to get by doing this?
It depends on the number of events we've held in the past year and the type of events. There's several different categories of funding, but LSU here at Lindenwood has always been in the top 10 organizations for the past several years, which means we get $1,200 to spend.
And they don't put any, you know, restrictions like, you know, if you guys wanted to do something controversial, like talk about Jesus?
There are restrictions, but no, we could do that. For instance, we could use it to help pay to travel expenses to bring a pastor in or something like that. Those are absolutely
right.
Acceptable.
I think you guys have actually used that for help with going to our national conferences before, if I recall.
That is correct. We are allowed to use that money for going to conferences, and we did use some of that for going to Liberty.
And so, and obviously, by becoming a student organization, you become accessible. People can probably see a link to where when you guys meet and what you do, utilizing various communication channels that are available to you at the university. One of the things that you mentioned, Rachel, was the being able to have, you know, tables at various fairs. Tell us about this. Has this been successful for you? Has that been a good thing? I know sometimes you can sit at these things forever, but has that worked well?
This past summer, it really did, because we had two what they call experience days, which is a freshman orientation. And between the 2 days, we actually reached out to 6 people that we have gotten their contact information from them and have actually heard back from several of them about being interested in events. And one of them came to church with us this past Sunday.
Oh, that is awesome. And that of course, is what it's all about. I know these on many of our campuses, you have orientation fairs. Every campus does them differently for the incoming freshmen. Sometimes they do these for high school students. Do you guys ever set up tables during the school year once school has started, like in the student union?
Yeah, there's several organization fairs that they hold through the year. We have a couple coming up this year, and one that we're really excited about is a campus ministry fair. So it's only going to be campus ministries there as opposed to every organization.
Well, that is awesome. I could not be prouder of what you guys have done there the last several years. I mean, it's been really beautiful to really, I mean, in many ways, historically, what you guys have developed there has kind of coincided with the development of LCMSU in general. They kind of all got started at the same time, but these are a lot of great ideas. I mean, having these fairs and to have even 6 really solid, I don't want to say leads because it sounds like it's not very spiritual, but to be able to have these kind of levels of contacts, sometimes, you know, you can't discount too the fact that people, you know, you're creating a presence on campus. People know who you are. Even if they didn't write down their name and say, hey, I'd like to know more. Every time you do this, you become more of the fabric of the school that you're on, and I'm saying this for everybody out there, regardless of where you're at, This is the way, you know, one of the things that we always fight is, well, our church is 2 miles off campus or whatever. Well, this is why you have to create presence on campus, and you guys are doing that. And to be able to have somebody actually come to church with you as a direct result of that is absolutely wonderful. Now, do they, what about advertising? How do you guys go about advertising for things, and are you able to do that on campus, and have you had much success with that?
Yes, we can, and we have definitely reasonable success with it. We are allowed to submit flyers that the school will print and hang up. We actually don't have to do any work after we design and submit the flyer. They would even design it for us, although we've always usually done that, so it has exactly what we want on it. So we can advertise our Bible study that way. Other events we're having, they will hang them up in the residence halls. They will hang them up on bulletin boards outside around campus and in some of the primary buildings. And also, there is a weekly email that the school sends out, and it has a list of student organization events. And that has been a source of several people joining our Bible study in the past.
So they, like, send out a mass email, like a MailChimp kind of a thing every week. This is what's coming up in student life activities that are going on.
Yes, they do that every Sunday night. And our school mascot is the lion, the Lindenwood Lion. And so the weekly email is called the Weekly Roar, which is kind of funny.
Well, that, I mean, that's great. I mean, that's free PR. It's constantly, and it's yet another way. Even if nobody shows up directly as a result of it, you know, that does underscore. Sometimes you can pick topics. One of the things I know I had asked Matthew to put together, you guys put together a little list here, and to skip ahead a little bit, but sometimes that would seem to me to be a really good opportunity to advertise events that might be of interest to those who might not be Lutheran or might not even be Christians. Sometimes we forget about that. We're not just serving our own students, our LCMS students on campus, but things that can kind of draw people in, topics of interest that are related to the moment or even activities. What kind of activities have you guys done, Rachel? Have you done any activities like to try to attract non-Christians? Even fun stuff is cool to hear about what kind of things you guys have done.
We've done a couple movie nights and some game nights as well, which have brought in non-Lutherans.
Have the game nights specifically brought in people?
Both movie nights and game nights actually have.
See, that's intriguing to me because we have... This is just a shout out to everybody out there. You know, with this being the Reformation and a lot of the videos that we have, the new Luther movie is going to be broadcast on September 12th on PBS. That would seem to me to be an awesome event for campus ministries to put on. But game nights, that is so old school. When you're not talking gaming, like, you know how everybody, all the guys, you know how this is, Rachel, are all into all the gaming and all that kind of stuff. It's mostly guys. Don't want to sound sexist here. I know girls are into gaming too, but we're not talking. You're talking like board games and stuff, right? Or like
card games.
How are those helpful once you actually get everybody? It's usually strikes me as something that most people are like, "Oh, we're going to get together and play a game." But then when you're doing it, how is that helpful for the development of your group and getting to know people?
It's really a good time to just kind of relax because. Obviously, being a student is stressful. And so once you start relaxing, then you realize that you're around some really great people, actually.
Well, and you get to know people, too. I mean, sometimes, like with a movie, if you do something where you're just watching something, whereas with a game, and they're both good, but with a game, you actually, like I always like, you guys have, I'm just saying, I get to St. Louis enough. You guys do like an apples to apples night. I will totally try to come to that. I am...
Keep that in mind.
I absolutely love apples to apples. And so game nights, movie nights, all sorts of other things that you can invite people to. How do you go about encouraging? Tell me a little bit about, you know, the place of you guys. There's nobody that's going to be a better contact to reach out to people that you know than you or the other students that are already coming to your things. Do you try to encourage your existing members to invite people?
Yes, we do. And it works fairly well, too. I mean, we've had several students come in with, like, say, a roommate or somebody they met during, like, freshman year.
Just a word of encouragement for everybody out there. There's nothing better than that personal invitation, because that says that you're somebody that, you know, that I care about you. Hey, I don't think people should be afraid. Sometimes people are waiting to be invited. And sometimes those things that you're doing, a game night, a movie night, or even if it's topics that you do for a Bible class on campus, that at the very least it's a little bit easier to do it on campus rather than the first thing being, hey, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? Obviously, you hope that that happens, but sometimes those initial and encouraging people to just, you know, the best evangelism and witness that we can do is just to invite people. Hey, would you like to come and join us? And so I'm glad that you guys are doing that. And it seems so obvious, but sometimes it's harder than you think, because we're always worried about how people are going to respond. So think down to this personal contact. If I'm a student and I've never been to Lindenwood, or I've seen your email, the student life email, how important is to be able to have a contact person that somebody can actually just contact if they have questions about your group?
Well, I think that's very important, and, you know, not maybe even just a generic email address. People might not feel comfortable sending to that. But when we meet new students or when we advertise something, a lot of times we might put one of our phone numbers on it so that they can send a text message or make a phone call. Text messages are often, I would say, the most popular way for college students to communicate, perhaps, is kind of what probably both Rachel and I see. And so that's a good way for any student to be able to get a hold of us in a personal way, ask questions about what we do, reach out to us if they need help.
How important is it to be proud of your Lutheran identity as you go about these things?
Absolutely. It's very important. You know, we have the gospel. We have that free salvation that Christ offers to us. This is one of the absolute hallmarks of Lutheran identity. So my last item on my list was just encouraging everyone, be proud of who you are as Lutherans, especially this year. It's the 500th anniversary of the start of the Reformation, and let's celebrate that together.
Super Quick is something, a lecture at Village Church of Ladue. Tell us about that.
Yes, so Village Lutheran Church in Ladue has a lecture entitled, Is the Reformation Still Relevant? On Saturday, September 9th. The lecture begins at 1 p.m., and there's a reception afterwards at 4 p.m. There will be a book signing. There will be Albrecht Dürer woodcuts on exhibit, music, refreshments, and more. And Pastor Brian Wolfmuller from Aurora, Colorado, is going to answer the question, has American Christianity failed? And Reverend Jonathan Fisk from right here in St. Louis and KFUO Radio now is going to be discussing his book, Broken, Seven Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break. Again, that's Saturday, September 9th at Village Lutheran Church in Ladue.
And we will put the links to both of these events up in the archives for this program. But tell us about this other event.
So the LCMSU chapters of the St. Louis area have come together and planned a conference called Roots Lutheran Identity, Yesterday, Today, and Forever. It is Friday, October 6th through Sunday, October 8th. And we will have lectures by Dr. Eric Herman from Concordia Seminary, who is going to talk to us about the history of the Reformation. And Pastor Wolfmuller is going to be making a return to St. Louis and discussing the what the Reformation means for us as Christians today and as we live our Christian lives into the future. The cost to register is only $15. This includes housing and most of the food during that weekend. But the price does increase on September 22nd, so make sure you get your registration due.
So that's two great events for everybody. Well, the first one for everyone, second one more for college students, but all college students will find this interesting. So if you're in the St. Louis area and you want to check these out, we will have them in the archives. Thank you both, Rachel and Matthew, for your time today. God's blessings to you in your studies, and thank you for highlighting some of these things that you're doing and some tips for everybody to consider as they try to reach out to students. Take care.
Thanks for inviting us. It was a lot of fun.
Yep, thanks for having us on, Pastor Zill.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
Well, that's all we have time for here today in the Student Union. Check out lcmsu.org. And remember, college students, college is tough. You need Jesus, we'll help.